You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay, welcome to America's Web Radio, and we go from the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame Hour to, this is, other than Victor Armendariz, we have just now really started the political side of America's Web Radio, which actually, I must say that I don't know if we're the first, but we're certainly not the last. We've already endorsed President Trump for re-election, and I think that his actions recently ensure that he will be re-elected. I think people will wake up and realize that what he did, he took a bold action, and it'll pay many times. With that being said, we also want to remind everybody to please, we're doing a campaign for you to send our First Lady a thank you note and just say how proud we are that she has brought by dignity, class, and elegance is back in our White House again because of Melania Trump. She is a very unique individual, has been given a bad rap in many cases by our fake media, which we don't care for. But anyway, with that being said, we have a politician in-house. And, Mark, you're one of the first. I think you were on Victor's show originally, right?
I was, David, and thanks for having me today.
Oh, how about doing me a favor and reintroducing yourself to our audience?
I'd love to, but before I do that, you made a very good point in regard to our First Lady. How about if they sent her a note in one of the foreign languages that she knows, right? She has, what, five that she's fluent in. Wouldn't that be an incredible thing for her to receive, a note in a foreign language that she knows?
That's a great idea. Yeah. I may have been the only one that did that. I sent her my thank you note, and I wrote that out in Texan. I only speak two languages, Texan and Georgian.
There you go. Well, you're pretty good with Georgian, that's for sure. And to introduce myself, thank you for allowing me to do that. My name is Mark Gonsalves. I'm running in Georgia's 7th Congressional District. It's an open seat this election cycle. We have Rob Woodall, our five-term congressman, who's retiring. It was a very close race this last time, even though the Cook Voter Index shows District 7 as a Republican plus 9. The fact is he won by 413 votes with 280,000 plus votes cast. It was the closest race in the midterm election cycle. So it gives you an idea. The demographics are changing, particularly in Gwinnett County. The two counties that make up District 7 are Gwinnett and Forsyth County. So for us conservatives, I'm an outsider to politics like Donald Trump. I have a business background. I have an accounting degree. And I just can't sit on the sidelines anymore hoping somebody else can take care of these massive problems that I see us handing to our next generation, of which I have a 19-year-old daughter that will directly affect her. So that's the impetus, if you will.
This is off. I don't want to say off color. That's not my point being, but describe your daughter from the standpoint, does she understand why you're running, and does she understand where the country is?
She does, and she's actually very conservative herself. She went online and took one of those online polls to see what she was, and she was, at the end of the poll, identified as a conservative Republican. So she, of course, called. She was at university, so she called and let me know that. And the reason why she did the exercise is because her first day of class, she's a sophomore now, but this goes back to last year. Her first day of class, she had a class called Women's Studies. So she went into the classroom, and she watched her teacher deliver an anti-Trump video. So she called me immediately after. She said, "Dad, I just walked out of my women's studies class, and the teacher showed us an hour-long anti-Trump video. Why would she do that?" And I said, "Well, that's up to the teacher to be able to opine on, not for me to opine on, but you've got a few options up your sleeve." And ultimately, she carried on through the class, got her 100, and I think ultimately had her last laugh, if you will. But it was, you know, this is the indoctrination that's going on in schools. And here's the thing, David. Everyone knows it's going on. And we're paying tax dollars for it to go on, or we're paying tuition for it to go on. I have a very simple solution to this. We've got all of these universities and all of these classrooms all technically advanced today, right? All Wi-Fi and so on. Cameras in the classroom. Now we watch the teacher streaming live, just like you're doing, streaming live, so we get to see what the teacher is actually promoting. I think a lot of the bad acting would quickly disappear. Now, we both know that the teacher unions and so forth would go bananas if this ever got any resonance, but this is exactly what has to have this is what has to happen. We've got to create this conversation, or we're going to lose this whole generation to socialism.
Mark, I don't know if when you were in here with Victor or not, but again, I've been preaching, for whatever it's worth, and I hope you'll agree with me, but you don't have to. But I'm much older than you are, and I lived through the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
The Cold War that I lived through with the Russians are coming, the missiles and all this. Not true. And I had Dr. K from Lubbock Christian College, and I've related this story many times. And just what you were saying, he was telling us about in the 60s, early 60s, that why would China or Russia bomb us? We're their biggest asset. They're going to take us from within. And you hit it on the head a second ago. And I don't know, we're in a bigger Cold War right now. And this stuff, the socialism, I was taught, socialism is one step away from communism. Socialism is without guns controlling the people. Communism is with guns controlling the people. And the way they did it, and Khrushchev, he told us exactly what they were going to do. They were going to infiltrate our universities. They were going to socialize our universities, put professors in with very liberal teaching and so forth. Then they were going to go down from universities. They were going to teach those people that were going to be teachers going into high school to teach them socialism, which is communism. And then they were going to take over our books. And they've done everything. And just what you were saying, that didn't surprise me when you said that she was showing a video anti-Trump. You know, that's... And folks, we are in a very serious Cold War. And, you know, the...
A lot
the
of it has to do with values, don't you think, David? We've lost the sense of values, particularly with the family unit.
Well, sure.
So now the parents become these cell phones, become the computers, become the internet, become Google. And this is, we've taken God out of our culture, out of our classroom, and in many cases out of our homes. So this is where this is the breeding ground. This is the breeding ground. And you talked about guns, no guns. I mean, look what's going on here as it relates to this socialist movement and these Antifa. I mean, these people are out there wounding innocent citizens. I mean, it's incredible. There was a reporter who got hit in the back of the head out there in Portland, right? He now has a brain injury. He'll never be the same. Just an innocent guy. He gets hit by a brick that was basically a cement brick, right? It's just hard to fathom.
And what the other thing is, you look back to Nazism, what's the first thing you do? Take the guns away from the people.
Right, and you've got Governor Northam very very anxious to travel down this path. He's getting a lot of blowback now, so let's see if he backs off. But he's talking about gun registration now in a little more forceful terms, and we know what that means. We're not that naive.
You know, they take the guns, they control the literature and our books that are published,
mm-hmm.
and then they got you. And this is something that people... Folks, it's communism, and, you know, I don't even know if in schools today they're teaching what socialism and communism is. And you know, like I said, socialism is taking the public without guns, and communism is holding the people with guns.
Right. I will tell you this. I have the youngest boots on the ground in my campaign of any of the candidates. The average age of my staff, which is a small staff but highly energized, is 22 years old. This is what, from my perspective, this is what this fight is about, because you're a man of the greatest generation. We now have gone from the greatest generation to the most selfish generation in 75 years, right? I mean, think about
that.
This.
Old,
but oh, well, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, sure.
You're on the tail end of that. So we are leaving our children with decisions that they're going to have to make that no generation should ever have to make. We will have delivered them a country in worse shape than the one that was bestowed to us. This is the first time in American history, and you can see all of the signposts, $23 trillion in debt, student debt, almost $2 trillion now, a completely broken healthcare system that lacks any sort of transparency. We're crippling families with these surprise bills, and we could have a great conversation about that because I've become quite expert in this topic because it's affecting so many families. Imagine going to a hospital, right? We have about a dozen states now that have started January 1st with surprise billing legislation within the state. We have not done that yet in Georgia, but it is a requirement. Obviously, we need to do it at the federal level. But Washington is a great example. They put into place surprise billing legislation January 1st. Their commissioner goes on to say, well, we've heard from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people with all of these complaints, including two families that went into the hospital with their insurance, had surprise bills of over $100,000 apiece, and now they're in bankruptcy losing their homes. So surprise billing is a big deal, and hopefully we can get into it.
Mark, we'll take that up when we come back. We'll be back with Mark right after this message.
Want to give your family or loved one the perfect gift? Then go online and check out the TornadoBodyDryer.com. I love mine and the warm heat air massage it gives me after my shower. The Tornado Body Dryer is super. You'll love it, and you'll love having one in your shower.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay, and we're back on America's Web Radio, and we have Mark Gonsalves.
Good job. Mark Gonsalves, yeah.
Okay. Well, I got close.
You did. You know, a lot of people say Gonsalves or Gonzalez, so it gets pronounced a few different ways over the years.
Well, maybe we can have you as a – actually, it would be perfect, as a matter of fact. I start kiddingly say, well, maybe we can get you in as a guest on our Let's Talk Venezuelan. But I don't know if you know Josie Cruz.
I do.
She's running for the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And
more well.
Let's see. What do we know about the guy that's been serving on the 4th? He thinks that islands are sinking. Is that right?
Exactly. Hank Johnson.
You know, they're listing to the left or right, and he must be a Democrat to come up with.
He's been in office for quite some time. It really is remarkable. I do think that there might be a time where we get to having an IQ and polygraph test for our congressmen and women. It might be a smart move.
And I certainly would go so far as to say term limitations would be a great move as well.
But, well, when I was on with Victor, we spoke about term limits. And here's the thing. I was, I believe, the first in my race to actually pledge term limits. I believe very strongly in term limits, but I also believe that no one talks about the stay-behind network. So if you're going to incorporate term limits for Congress, we also need to have the stay-behind networks leave those offices. So if I came in as a new congressman, right, obviously there's a transition period.
Sure.
So maybe that staff is able to stay in place for a period of time, 6 months, a year, whatever it might be, but then they also have to go. Because unless we do that, term limits on Congress itself, the elected officials, it's not going to have the degree of impact that we would like it to have because they're so beholden to these staffs. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we know, too, that some of the stay-behind staff might wind up biting you in the butt, too.
That's a very good point. I mean, look what Donald Trump's had enough of those little critter bites,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm. And, I wish I had the answer. You hit it on the head, too, a minute ago, that, yeah, there is one big answer, and that's to bring back the family unit and bring faith back into all aspects of our life, be it in school, be it any place. And it's like I said about thank you notes. I was talking with Mike Dover. Mike is the national chaplain for the disabled American veterans,
mm-hmm.
and Mike and I have become very close friends, and we're going to be the radio station for the American disabled veterans.
Isn't that fantastic?
And we're very proud of that, and for all the help that Mike's given us. But you know, a lot, if not most, if not all, of our problems today, in every aspect of life, could be terminated with the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And
unfortunately, what we've done is we've morphed the golden rule into he who has the gold rules. Yeah,
you've got it. And I hope we change before we break.
Right. You know, it's an interesting point, David. I have to tell you that I've spent many a sleepless night during this campaign contemplating the challenge of civility in Congress, right? So we are all very well aware of the extreme partisanship now and these opportunities to just continue to spew hate. And with all these channels available and the media turning politics into reality television, the more you hate on somebody, the more promotion and publicity you seem to get. So it just keeps ratcheting up and ratcheting up and ratcheting up. So how do we bring some civility back into the conversation? What I observe, and maybe, you know, your opinion would be very interesting for me to hear, is we have adults literally making it about themselves and screaming at each other. How about if we introduce our children into this conversation? What are we going to do about leaving a country proper for our next generation and the next generations that follow them? Let's put our focus, our attention on the children. Think about it. Children are not Democrats or Republicans and so on when they're little kids. I certainly wasn't. So if we can look at the bigger picture of what all of this really represents, then I think maybe dawn will start to, we would say, dawn would light on Marblehead growing up in Massachusetts. Hopefully dawn would light on Congress in regard to this, because it's so broken when we both know that it's been dysfunctional for 20 years, and that's both under Democrat and Republican rule. So both parties have had their chance, and both parties have dropped the ball. That's my opinion. But go ahead, give me your opinion. You know, do you think children, the conversation could start to at least move the pendulum a little bit in the right direction?
I guess my first knee-jerk is how old are these children you're talking about? But the reality of it is the Middle East starts almost at birth. And we don't, but they do.
Right.
And, you know, this is why someone like Omar can come out and say, well, you know, we're not going to stop until all of America, all of the West is, all of the world is Islamic.
Mm-hmm.
And they start teaching it from day one. We're going to start a... I had looked into it several years ago, but I am hell-bent on doing it now. And the wisdom that came before us from the American Indians mm-hmm. is just absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure you've heard the saying, well, wait until you've walked a mile in my shoes. Well, that's not an American or white or anybody else. That came from the Indians.
Right. Moccasins.
Moccasins. Until you've walked a mile in my moccasins.
That's right.
And this is where, and I'm a big supporter of this, and is that I can't fathom Pelosi or Feinstein or any of the others making decisions for our military. I am so opposed to somebody that hadn't served being put on the Armed Service Committee. Unless you've had a bullet whiz by your head, you don't know the reaction, mm-hmm. you know? And just like the gentleman that left.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Ellis spent 5 years in the Hanoi Hilton, and I don't think any of the other Congress people have, and Lee's gone through. But it doesn't mean that they all have to necessarily have served in the military, but I think we should look at who we place where. And as far as children being educated, I would never want to feel like it's... and the communists do it just like the Middle Easterns do it. They start with their young children as well.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm the only candidate in my race that has actually spent time in the Middle East as a civilian for 2 years. I had older brothers at the time that had to go to school abroad. They went to Beirut. They went to Ankara, Turkey. They went to Tehran for a year. We traveled extensively during that period of time. So I saw the culture up close and personal, to take a phrase from ABC Sports Olympic coverage way back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I saw it that way, and there is reason to pause for sure. And going back to Pelosi and Feinstein, we've proven appeasement does not work with that culture. So that's why when you see what took place over the last week, deterrence through strength certainly has had a resurgence amongst the support of the American public.
You know, Reagan did it best. And I'm extremely supportive of exactly what Trump has done. And you don't... You've learned in business, I've learned in business one way or the other. You don't sit there wringing your hands. You have to make a decision and move on.
Exactly.
And
you know, Congress has totally abdicated their responsibility of when we go to war and when we don't. And we have to stop starting wars we don't know how to end. Think about it. When we went to Syria, we were told, the American public, we'll be there about a month. That was 10 years ago. When we went to Afghanistan, we were told it'll be a very short-term conflict, like the initial Iraq war. That was 19 years ago. That was $6 trillion later. That's 6,000 American lives later. That's 45,000 American men and women wounded, many never to walk again, taking their wounds to their graves. So these things have massive consequences. We should not start wars we don't know how to end.
Well, no, we should not start wars, in my opinion, that we don't intend to win immediately, if not faster. And we're capable of it. That's the whole kicker.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's this is what people have to understand, and there's nothing... There's nothing pretty about it, but we have to do what we have to do and get in, get out.
Right.
I have a cousin that's a oral surgeon, and he has a I stayed with him during the summer some, and he had a motto that, you know, if you're going to take a person's wisdom tooth out or whatever the extraction mm-hmm. might have to be, mm-hmm. that they're going to swell, they're going to be in more pain, they're going to... But his motto, he was one that he said, it doesn't matter how big a hole you cut, you're going to sew up the hole anyway. You get in, you get out, and the less trauma that you cause in the mouth, you just, and that'll cut down on the swelling, it cuts down on the healing and everything else. So, you know, he was known for, he didn't care. He went in, he cut as big a hole as he needed, and extracted the tooth and was gone, and his patients loved him because they'd, you know, oh, I've been horror, you know, told horror stories of that it would take weeks to recover from this. Mm-hmm. And his patients didn't take weeks.
Right.
And this is the same thing that the United States, in my opinion, over the years, and I love my country, but the only place that we have not done well in, and this goes back to the Revolution, foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason we sent troops into Vietnam, and we didn't even know that Vietnam had jungles. So we went, we sent troops in with M16s that got hung up on vines. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea, and I'm sure there's a statistic out there, but we sent green tanks to Saudi Arabia or to Kuwait, and we didn't know they had dirt over there or sand, and gee, maybe we could make those tanks a little harder to find if they were painted desert colors.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse for that, in my opinion.
Right.
We should have a foreign policy not only for our military, but a foreign policy of what are people going to say and think.
Well, certainly in those cases, that's a breakdown in intelligence to not know that going in.
But the sad part is
that's a basic.
The sad part about it is we have the intelligence from the military side.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the intelligence from the civilian side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad part, and we have to work together.
Well, you know, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts with the way technology is now. Think about what happened with the events this past week. We had a drone that had a missile that took out that car, right? Pinpoint accuracy. We're in a different age today, but yet we have this infrastructure of 700-plus bases scattered around the world. Do we really need that, or should we contemplate what's going on our southern border? Imagine if we went to a far-off land and we lost, pick the number right now, 60,000 American soldiers in a year. Imagine what the public outcry would actually be. Yet that's what we're doing with opioids that flow in from our southern border. Fentanyl and from China, from Mexico, and we just seem to be okay with that. This is destroying families. It's forcing our courts to separate addicted children from their parents and addicted parents from their children, by the way.
Mark, we're going to have to take another break. We're up against the time limit, and we'll be back with Mark right after this.
Want to give your family or loved one the perfect gift? Then go online and check out the TornadoBodyDryer.com. I love mine and the warm heat air massage it gives me after my shower. The Tornado Body Dryer is super. You'll love it, and you'll love having one in your shop.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options, such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle, medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on America's Web Radio, and this is sort of an extension of David's pick with the fact that we've got Mark Gonsalves. Is that close enough?
Hey, you're doing well.
Gonsalves.
Gone solves, yeah. They'll think about me gone and then solves. Gone solves a problem, right? That's when people go, hey, go to Washington, solve those problems. Solves. You can do it.
Absolutely. And there, I don't think you'd run out of them anyway.
Well, that's the truth.
You know, I think there are enough up there that and this, again, is something that, I don't want to say.
David, you're a smart guy.
But
we have a great economy, right? But we're still running a $1 trillion deficit. How does that make you feel? We just passed in November over $23 trillion now in national debt. Never mind all the unfunded liabilities, right? So you've been around a long time. How does that make you feel that in a time of prosperity, we're not doing what we historically have done in this country, and that has been to pay down our debt? We've accumulated debt under two circumstances, world wars and depressions or deep recessions is when we've accumulated the greatest amount of debt. But when the good times came, right, and the economy flourished, we paid down our debt. Right now, we're accumulating even more debt. That's why I was totally against the $320 billion spending bill this past summer. Also was against this $1.4 trillion appropriations bill at the end of the year that we all went for our holidays, and it got signed in as Congress left for their holidays at the last second to keep the government open.
Mark, we don't do a show here, and I'm pretty much aware, although things will be changing shortly, in that I won't be sitting here like I have been and listening to every show, but one way or the other, I listen to most every show that we produce,
mm-hmm.
and there's one common denominator throughout the whole America's Web Radio, all of our hosts and all of our guests, and it's appalling. It's incredible. But the one common denominator is that we have more power in our cell phones than ever before. I mean, I can, hey Google, give me this, and you know, and they'll come back with an answer, and yet we are too lazy to educate ourselves about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
How many, if you were walking down the street, how many people could you stop that could give you a definition of $1 trillion?
Exactly. The number's so big you can't comprehend it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nor do they want to, well, you know, if there's one other, we're doing a thing, by the way, on idioms. I love idioms. But we're doing a thing. I characterize Congress now as don't confuse me with facts my mind's made up.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, unfortunately, it's on both sides of the aisle.
Right. And it's very partisan, those minds.
Yep. And, you know, we have the public should be, in my opinion, outraged that we're $23 trillion
right.
in debt.
Right.
And nobody's standing up saying, you know, it's easy to be critical, but it's very hard to answer the questions, and we're not getting the answers that we should.
Well, and I mentioned my staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Average age 22. The thing that's remarkable is most people believe young people have no concern over this debt. I can assure you that they do. The critical thinkers, they get it. And I have to tell you, when you see that mountain of debt, really a form of taxation to that generation without their representation, they didn't create the debt. So when you have that mountain of debt going to be passed down to you, that's the breeding ground for socialism, David. When they think capitalism is morphed into crony capitalism, too big to fail is a perfect example, yeah. Which means you're too small to care about. Right? Too big to fail means you're too small to care about. These are the underpinnings of socialism taking root. So this is what I hear and see and know just in my gut. And so how do you unwind it? That's the key question.
Education, and information. But the, you know,
and resolve.
And resolve, yes, definitely. The I feel. I have a son that's 35 and a son that's serving in the Air Force at 32. And, you know, their kids are going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't agree with you more. It's our fault, and it's a shame that we're passing on something
right.
like this.
And it's hard medicine to admit that. I mean, nobody wants to take on that burden.
But we've been taught in some ways that there's some kind of gigantic printing press in Washington, D.C.,
right.
and when you need a couple of bucks, just go, right. I'll print out a couple of bucks for you.
I don't know if your father ever told you this when you were a kid, but mine certainly did. And I would ask him for something, and he would go, Mark, what do you
money
think? We have a money tree. You yeah. have a money tree in the backyard. Well, evidently, Congress believes there's a money orchard. It's not a tree.
You're
it's
right.
an actual orchard that we have up there. Yeah,
that's beautiful. I heard that, but that's, yeah. Do you think money grows on trees?
Right.
Oh, if I heard it once?
Right.
Many, many times. But, you know, and part of this is, in my opinion, is that the family unit has been so destroyed and misled,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, Daddy, I need this. Well, you know, where I lived in North Atlanta, it was called, when I first moved there, it was called the Golden Ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where it was?
Go right ahead.
Dunwoody.
Wow.
The Golden Ghetto. Here's $100, go have a good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a member of the club over there for 21 years. And, you know, it was sickening to see some of the things that, and it was because our parents, my parents, wanted us to have a better life than World War II.
Right.
And they wanted us to have everything. And I'll be the first to admit, I was a spoiled brat growing up. And, not like that, and my kids didn't get it. My kids were taught, you ask the neighbor before you walk across the yard. You don't walk across their property without asking them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is, I only have one answer, and I'm proud to say I'm a Christian, and I'm proud to say that I personally believe that the Bible has the answers, and I'm not trying to get into something that you don't want to get into but I feel like our getting away from it, and, you know, to pray and say, I hope nobody's hurt during the game, what in the world is wrong with that?
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. We've got a fight of epic proportion, don't we? It literally can be defined as good versus evil now. And I think a lot of Americans feel deep down about that.
The scary part is, I think I agree with you. I think the majority feels like that, but the scary part is, while they're feeling like that, they're saying, what's the answer?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? What's the answer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and I'm no hero by any means, but this is why we do the shows that we do, bringing folks like you on and bringing folks
right.
on like Lee. Can you imagine?
Well, I will say this. I think that when we can love our children more than we can hate one another, that's going to be the start of moving things in the right direction.
Well, we have to respect each other. And again, love thy neighbor like thyself.
Mm-hmm.
And
nobody's perfect. You know, one of the things that I read, and this goes back years ago, David, it's influenced my life to an incredible degree. I read this piece of research from the social scientists. It was a test that they provided to a group of subjects. And there was 100 questions, multiple choice. There was a proctor for the exam. He gave them the time to complete the exam. And when it was completed, instead of collecting the examination papers, he said, now what I want you to do is I want you to go back and circle every question that you know for absolute certainty that you've answered correctly. There's not a doubt in your mind. You know you got that one right, and there's no advantage to one circle versus 100 circles. It's only the number of circles you know you got right. Here was the conclusion of the research. they were right 85% of the time. So the point that I'm trying to make is, even when you know for certain in your mind that you're right, maybe you're not. Maybe you should leave yourself open to being able to hear a competitive argument. I know I can be extremely stubborn myself, but I always hear that little voice, hey, you know what? You're digging in hard on this, Mark. Maybe this is a 15% moment. Maybe you need to listen and be objective and see where it leads. So that's a help. That's what I see. I see a lot of people, they're convinced 100% when they're only right 85.
General Dix and I talked about this yesterday, is that the greatest leaders in history always surrounded themselves by brilliant people and took their advice. They didn't. The leaders that failed are the ones that stood up and said, I know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we blame our president today of being in the category of saying, I know everything, which the reality of it is he is surrounded by some very smart people, and some very smart people happen to be his own kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's wrong with it? If they got the answer or they got the suggestion, I have no problem with it. But not everybody knows, like you said, if it's...
Nobody knows everything.
No.
Right.
Nor will they ever.
Right.
And it's
funny. I take questions, right, when I'm out in public, whether it's a GOP event or some other event, and I'm the one out of all the candidates that aggressively seek out those questions. Most want to shy away because they think, you know, I might not know the answer. I might step in it. For instance, I'm the only candidate to my knowledge to date that spent time with the Libertarian Party up in Forsyth. Right? They asked if I would go. They asked other candidates as well. I chose to take them up on their offer. And it was really interesting, David, because when I walked in, I said, listen, I'm very anxious to take your questions, and I know full well that we're probably not going to align on everything, but let's see where we go with it. And it was fascinating. When I started answering questions that were from my belief system that was counter to their platform, they started defending me. It was absolutely incredible. Mark, we just want you to know, we're not a single-issue voter. We understand you might not agree with us on that, but don't worry. And I thought, wow, isn't that fantastic? So bring on the questions. Nobody has all the answers, and I make it very obvious at the beginning. I don't have all the answers, and if I can't answer something, I'll be straightforward with you and let you know. Let me do my homework, and let me get back to you with a considered response instead of a knee-jerk answer that does nothing for anyone. So people respect that.
It's like the best salesman is the good listener. He's not talking all the time. He's listening to what you need. What can I do for you? And he's thinking about, this is what I can do. And
it's a great point. And, you know, it does tie back to Donald Trump in a way, at least for me as a candidate. So people ask me about my support of Donald Trump. Of course I support Donald Trump. He's our duly elected president. I support every president that's duly elected, whether I voted for them or not. It's in my best interest as a citizen of the United States of America to want our president to be wildly successful. I've wanted that for every president that I've known in my lifetime, right? But at the same time, I am my own person. And if I'm able to accomplish getting to Congress, there's a high likelihood that I would be there after Donald Trump's second term. So don't you want a congressperson that you think is their own thinker versus just blindly following policy that you should not? $320 billion in spending is a perfect example of that. $1.4 trillion at the end of the year, another perfect example of it. So people don't want Congress people that are simply yes men to the political ideology of their party. It's led us to $23 trillion in debt. It's led us to an open border. It's led us to a broken healthcare system that lacks transparency. We have no pricing transparency. Think about it, David. It's the only thing you buy where you have absolutely no idea what it costs. None. Incredible. So I think you got to look at it a little broader.
Mark, let's in the last couple of minutes that we've got, I want to clarify, or want you to clarify exactly what you're running for. Yeah. Who does that include?
Yes.
But, you know, the district and so forth, and the listeners. And I'd like to ask, too, that okay, well, Mark isn't running for to be the representative of the state of Georgia. He is running for a district. But that doesn't mean that if you're listening in Valdosta,
right,
or wherever, that you don't have a friend in Mark's district.
Right.
And say, oh, I was listening, and this guy makes sense. So
thanks.
Pass
so,
it on to your family and everybody else that, you know, I know the name.
Yeah, to answer your question, I'm running in District 7. Rob Woodall is a retiring congressman, having served us for 5 terms. Because it's an open seat, there is a number of candidates vying for the seat. The best article I've seen is on ForsythPolitics.com that just came out about a week ago, and it describes the Georgia 7th congressional race, and it really, I think, puts it into a very good perspective. So there's 9 candidates on the Republican side. There are a number of candidates on the Democrat side as well, including the challenger that got beat the midterms. Her name is Carolyn Bordeaux. So anyone that really is not so familiar with the race, they might want to go to ForsythPolitics.com and read that article. It's, you know, I think it's a very well-written piece. It'll provide a lot of clarity. Now, on my case, the easiest way to find out about me is go to my website, markcongress2020.com. markcongress2020.com. And here's what's extraordinary, David. They'll be able to see literally a political first right on my homepage. They can click on a little play button and watch a 30-minute television congressional address. It's been running in Atlanta on NBC, Fox, CBS, Peachtree TV. We've got tremendous response to it. It's an opportunity for me to really share my experiences and my views on these issues versus me standing up when I've got a minute and a half. Your program's fantastic, right? I don't know how long we've been on today, but this gives me a chance to bring more of a full expression to who I am and what I believe. That 30-minute show we produced completely in-house, didn't use a production company, didn't use a producer, a director, a script writer, a special effects person. We did it completely in-house, myself and my communications director. So I have a 30-minute show that's running on network television in Atlanta that my total production costs, $214. I'm trying to make a point. The point is you don't have to spend like a drunken sailor.
Yeah.
You can be fiscally responsible. And by the way, that's very disrespectful to drunken sailors if you think about it, because they earned the money that they blow.
Yeah.
Congress is spending our money with little just little responsibility is the best way I could say it. So that was the point that I was trying to make. We have other people in my race that have spent tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of dollars for a small little video that they run on their website.
You know, we have two things here. And as you look around, it's been my philosophy that you don't kill a fly with a sledgehammer. Oh, yeah, I could have a lot fancier, a lot bigger space and all this, but we do the same. We can do anything that Fox can do. In fact, they copy us a lot of times. But we can do anything that anybody else can do within what we want to do, mm-hmm. our boundaries. The other thing is, and this is more applicable probably, is that as we do our research or do our decision-making, we say, follow the money.
Correct.
Who's making a buck off of it and why? And we do a show called The Doctor's Lounge, which we get into. 99.9% of the people don't even know what CON stands for in Georgia or what a PBM is.
Mm-hmm.
But I rest assured we know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And CON stands for Certificate of Need, which is giving St. Joe's, Piedmont, Northside, they're a monopoly. And they can keep you from building a capitalistic facility next door to them that would save everybody money.
Right. And, you know, Northside is in my district, and Northside has now farmed out the emergency room, for instance, to the private equity gang, right? They're two major players in these physician staffing organizations, one of which is in Northside. And that's how all these surprise bills start, because they're out of network. You walk in thinking they take Aetna, it's right there on the website. There's no transparency. It doesn't say, hey, by the way, if you go to the emergency room, it's not going to be covered. So a person thinks it's going to be covered. So they're taking a person when they're the most vulnerable, David, and this breaks my heart, when they're the most vulnerable, and they've turned patients into prey. And that is unconscionable. Private equity having their tentacles in healthcare. You look at what's gone on as far as the accelerating costs of healthcare. It's 20% of our economy, completely outside of the purview of America's exceptionalism, which is free market. Think about that. When you and I were young, it was 5%. That was a sustainable number. At 20%, we're bankrupting families all over this country. I just got off the phone with my mother. My dad's been in a full care facility now. She said, Mark, I just did the bills over the last few months. It was $47,000. I said, Mom, you just have to realize that the 50 years of work that you and Dad put into your life, it's vaporizing in your last 6 months of life. That's how it works. Statistically, 80% gets vaporized in the last 6 months of life, and you end up underground anyway.
You know, we do a show called Safe Senior Hour, which is talking about all the people. Well, we have a retired federal agent that does the show, and we expose scams, we expose facilities that take advantage of the elderly, and then we also do the doctor's lounge that addresses exactly what you're talking about as far as what hospitals do and the hidden charges and everything else.
My dad on his bill, picture this. Occupational therapy. He's 92 years old in the late stages of dementia. $1,100 for occupational therapy. This is the kind of shenanigans that are going on. I'd love to be on that show, or at least listen to the show. So you got to tell me when it's on, because I'm all in on listening to that show.
We're starting another show very shortly, and the lady, her name is Mary Daniel, and Mary is the one, by the way, that went to the White House and helped Melania decorate the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
But she, her business is taking that bill and getting it reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a fantastic job putting the hospitals and the doctors, putting their feet to the fire and saying, look, this is not a legitimate bill.
Right.
This is not a legitimate charge. And I shouldn't use the word we're, but she does a fantastic job. Hal Shears with Doctors for Patient Care does a fantastic job. And we're exposing it. And we're not as little a voice as a lot of people think.
Hey, God bless you.
We're going to be taking, you know, taking on more and more things and being an advocate for, and this is what a lot of people aren't. Is your dad your father a veteran?
Yeah, I actually went to the Naval Academy and has served branches of the service.
He's got benefits that are incredible, and we're doing, like I think I mentioned to you, Mike Dover is the national chaplain of American disabled American veterans. But the thing that we'll be talking about is the benefits that are available that most veterans don't have.
You know, I need that information. I'd like to pass it on to my mother.
Oh, I mean, it's just incredible. Everything from burial benefits to up and down the gamut, home care. The VA has home care benefits for people like your father.
Yeah, and, I need that information desperately.
Anyway, with that being said, we're going to have to, we have another saying here, and this came from Texas, putting the plug in the jug, and we're going to have to close out for this morning, and appreciate everybody listening, and we're going to have the show called Healthcare Insight following in just a moment, following a couple of ads. Mark, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
welcome to come back anytime that you have the time to do it.
And well, I loved being with you. I appreciate the opportunity.
I don't know. I don't live in the Seventh, but it doesn't keep me from saying that America's Web Radio looks forward to you being the representative, and that we're endorsing you as of today, and do want you to come back anytime you can.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. It's very humbling.
Well, you've been listening to all sorts of stuff on America's Web Radio today, this morning, and we've got more coming your way. Hope you'll stay tuned for Healthcare Insight. This is do you happen to know Ron Bachman by chance?
Don't know him, no.
He, again, is an advocate for getting the truth in medicine.
Fantastic.
And in healthcare in general.
Right. What, we've got to break up this opaque cartel.
Yeah, it's just, yes, we do. But anyway, we'll be back with more on America's Web Radio right after a couple of messages, and hope you'll stay tuned. It's fun, and we have a good time here and appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.